Hello, hello. How are we all? My name is George. This is the FPL Banter Pod. I hope we are all well. Bear with me this pod because I am still full of cold. I've had cold and flu symptoms since 2026 began, and I just can't shake it. So if I'm a bit coffee or a bit, you know, I stop midway to have a drink, whatever, just, yeah, bear with me. However, I may have a flu, but my FPL team was in very high spirits this weekend. A 57, a 179k green arrow, getting me very high in some rankings, very high in some mini leagues, and back top on my favourite mini league, the Blame the Chalk mini league, with me, Steve, Claire, Louise, Andrew, Duncan, and now Nicole has joined the fray of that wonderful mini league. I was top anyway for a while, and then I took about 44 hits in the space of a month during Christmas, which I, you know, I got a bit big-headed, and you know, I was doing some crazy things. And I kind of survived it. And then kind of the last few weeks, I was like, right, as soon as I went second, I was like, right, okay, no more. We need to get back on track and sort some things out. And we did. And I think this was my first week not taking hit for about 5 weeks. Captaincy was all up in the air, but we went for Verts in the end. After a few, you know, do I go Thiago? Do I go Verts? Do I just go Haaland? But no, I went Verts and it paid off again. Lucky George, as some people have been saying this season in the Slack. I prefer talent, but, you know, some people call it luck, but it is what it is. But, yeah, a great week, a great green arrow going into this game week where, again, I'm not, you know, there's no need to go, right, we're here now, we're back where we want to be. Let's, you know, let's take a -4 or a -8. I'm wildcarding next week, spoiler alert. Not this game week, the game week after. I've got a wild card booked and ready. I've got a Zoom call booked and ready with the lovely Sam Bonfield, which is on a Friday morning. So this pod will probably come out on a Friday night. So it'll be a... For those who normally listen to me, you have to probably get on that pod quite quick before the deadline, because I think it's a good idea to record the pod after the Zoom call I have with Sam. So yeah, we have a plan. We have a sort of a 2-week plan, if you like. Plan on this week in terms of transfers and captaincies. I'm 50-50 with a lot of it, to be honest. It's a very... There we go, coughing again. It's a very weird game week. But we'll dive into it. We'll dive into everything that happened last week and then we'll go into that. So, as I said, a 57. So, we'll start with the keeper, Donnarumma. I mean, what was it? I think 65 minutes in, I was like, Donna's having a game of his life and he's gonna get me like a 12-pointer here. Like, he was making some ridiculous saves and then... The first one went in. I think it was Mbeumo who scored it, didn't it? Yes, because then Dorgu got the second. I mean, City are a mess at the moment. I think a mess is probably the wrong word. They're something's not clicking with them. I don't know what it is. They're just, you know, Haaland's not firing. There's a Haaland debate that we will have later. But they're just not clicking as a whole. The transfer I did last week was Semenyo in for Cherki, which at the time was the right decision because Cherki was benched and Semenyo did start. And I was like, right, here we go. Carrick's first game, City are going to, you know, they're going to romp him here. And, you know, I mean, is it a new manager bounce? Is it that now Carrick is playing a way that United want to play? Or is it just the fact that, you know, United were playing a very poor City side at the moment with a very limited backline. That's I think that's the way it was. Yeah, limited backline with, you know, no Diaz, no Guardiola. Don't think he started in this, did he? He might have actually. Honestly, I can't remember. But basically, no, I don't think he did. Anyway, basically, it was, you had Kuzmanov at the back and Rico Lewis was just, you know, he was getting torn by Mbeumo and Dorgu and it just wasn't a great game for City defensively. Attacking-wise, they weren't great. And in terms of United, now, people are going to say United were great. Let me just say that. They were great. They were brilliant. Bruno is a 10. In FPL terms, if Bruno is now a 10, which we all said he should have been, but the one person who didn't think that was a bloody manager who really has now been proven absolutely clueless of what he was trying to do at United. If Bruno is now a 10, he is FPL essential. He's probably the second name on that sheet, bar, well, I would have said Haaland, but that's a conversation we'll have in a minute. But him and Gabriel, they're the two you have. They're the two that you go, right, well, whenever you do a wild card or a free hit or whatever, they're the two that's in. Doesn't matter who they're playing, they're fixture proof. Especially if he's a 10. I mean, Bruno, to be fair to Bruno, he's been great even as a 6. Because he's been getting DEFCON as well as assists and all that. But as a 10, it was like, right, here we go. And if Mbeumo is now a 9 and a Carrick don't fancy Sesko for whatever reason, then that's another conversation that can potentially be had as well. The thing that's taken me off United slightly, very slightly, is one, you know, it's a one-off game. They've done this before, United. A new manager's come in, they've won a big game. They're like, right, here we go, we're fixed. United are back. And to be fair, most United fans I've spoke to, Aaron included, has said, let's all, you know, let's calm down here. No one's saying United are back. Let's see how they play against the best defence in the league, for example. But I think the whole United back hype is more because of the fixture swing that's coming up, hence why I'm wildcarding. Bruno will definitely be in my wildcard. Whether I have 2 or even 3 is a conversation for another day. If Mbeumo was a 9 again, then that is probably, I'm 70% sure I will probably have Mbeumo in that wild card, but you know, we'll wait and see. But the thing I want to say again, Bodo Glimt just put 3 past City, which has made me think, okay, now was that performance from United a great United performance where they can beat anyone on any given day, or was that City were just that bad? So, and I think that Arsenal game is a benchmark that we're going to see whether we need to go, right, okay, we need to get more than just Bruno in our teams, or was it just United ain't at it, City ain't at it at the moment, that, you know, they're out of sync, they don't know what they're doing. Because that Bodo game has made me think that, like, Christ, like, really, they're that bad at the moment. But the Arsenal game is more of a benchmark for that. And again, fair play to United, not taking anything away from the performance. I thought they were brilliant. And yeah, I think that formation worked, and I think that's the formation United should have been playing from the get-go. 4 at the back is the United way, as people like to call it, and that's what I've heard from people this week. My defence saved me this week. My defence is the reason I had such a good score. So Timber with a 5, should have been a 6, but he got a yellow card. Gabriel with a 2 bonus. You know, solid Arsenal, 0-0. Saka with a 1, starting on the bench. We'll go through him on midfield in a minute. And then my third defender, Chow, who got a 9. He got, you know, again, another 0-0 in the Premier League. There was a few 0-0s last week. And obviously, coming off subject a little bit, there was this conversation where the Premier League is becoming boring, that it's not as entertaining anymore. Football's top Premier League will always be entertaining for us. I don't care what anyone says. It will always be entertaining. And I just think there's certain teams now that are not... we're not seeing teams relegated. For example, teams that are fighting for survival or trying to get up the table. Or, you know, they're going to these big teams and they're going, well, no, we're not going to play like you because that's what you want us to do. We're going to play our way. We're going to build our own system, what works best for us. And we're going to... You know, we're going to defend that and we're going to play the way we want to play. And because of that, we are seeing a lot more nil-nils or 1-1s. And, you know, we're seeing different ways. There are different ways to play football. Where I think there was a time where we all had to play the Pep way. We all had to play the Arteta way. And now it's kind of like whoever comes in, they're going to go, no, this is how I want us to play. And sometimes it'll work and sometimes it won't. But I don't think... the Premier League as a brand is being affected. I mean, of course, you want to go to games and pay your money. You want to see a goal fest. But at the end of the day, what we as thing is, if you, I get it if you're not a Premier League fan. You're thinking, well, we've got all these attackers in the Premier League. We should be seeing wonder goals. We should be seeing, you know, 2-1s, 3-1s, 4-4, like whatever. And to be fair, we had a 4-3 with Newcastle the other week. We had a 4-4 with United and Bournemouth. If you go to the G-Tech, you get to see 3-1s, 4-2s, 5-1s. Like, I think as a neutral, when you're at home, you're a neutral. You're paying for your Skybox and all that, and you're sitting down. You're having your beers and your Sunday lunch and whatever, and you sit there and you just watch a 0-0. It's like, yeah, what is this crap? But it's just another way of playing football, I think, and I'm all for it. And at the end of the day, for us as Premier League teams, what we care about, we care more about how many points we get in the league rather than how we're going to do it. And if you said to me Brentford have got to have 7 0-0s in a season to get Champions League football, fine, whatever. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's... But, you know. That's just me going slightly off subject with a little topic that people are discussing throughout the week. Chalvin, 9-pointer, 0-0. He's a great defender for Newcastle. He's been really good, actually. He's really impressed me, Chow. I wasn't sure about him because no one had really heard him. But he came in against Leeds. He got a bloody -1, and then he's done a 9-pointer, so... he's in my good books. And then we go on to the midfield. So we'll start at the bad and then we'll go to the good. So, sorry. Semenya with a 2. Yeah, lost 2-0 to United. Didn't do a lot. He was a little bit unlucky for one of the chances. And he was trying Semenya, but it just weren't happening for him in this game. I think he's still a keep, by the way. I think in my wild card, I still probably will have him. At the moment, I think Pep should be starting Cherki, and that's not just because I had him. I think he's the only one at the moment who seems to try and create things for City. Doku as well, but I kind of find with Doku, he's been a little bit sussed out by a lot of teams and defences. Saka with the worst of the lot, really, with a 1, being benched again, and now he played a full 90 in the Champions League. So it's like, right, well, is he going to bench him again? Or what? Like, what's he doing for the United game? So that's got me a bit of anxiety over Saka. I will probably keep Saka for this week, but he's coming out for Rice in the wild card. I've pretty much decided that now. Unless he starts and scores a hat-trick against United... I think he's ready to get off this Saka bandwagon because he's not been great this season. Like, he's not pulling the numbers he used to. And to be fair, for the last 18 months, he's not been amazing stats-wise. You know, he's not scoring as much as he used to. He's not even assisting as much as he used to because Rice is sort of getting involved with that. And then I had 2 Newcastles, Bruno G and Gordon, a.k.a. Crossy the Clown. Apparently, I'm not meant to call him that now because he's had a haircut. But Nicole, I don't care. Until he scores a goal, he's Crusty the Bloody Clown. Yeah, look, Bruno G was unlucky. I actually thought he was a lot better in that second half and could have got a goal, which really, that's why I held him. He's been a goal threat for Newcastle at the moment. And he was a hold. He was going to be a hold, and he was probably potentially still going to stay in my wild card. And then he decided to pick up an injury last night. So somehow, even though I was literally ready, like, so before that game, I basically called Crusty the Clown was coming out of my team. FPL Springfield was no more. He was coming out. That was it. Show's over. He's out. And then Bruno G gets a swollen ankle, which looks like he's not going to be fit for Sunday. So somehow Crusty stays. You know, he's still not scored an open play goal in over a year. I brought him in because he had the penalties and I thought he'd get one or two assists. And I think I can't remember if he did get an assist or not against Burnley. I can't remember now. But basically, he's been a dud, really. And I was ready to get off him, but it looks like I'm probably going to have to keep him this week. If I did consider a hit, I really shouldn't take a hit because it's wild card. Like, it's pointless. Like, there's no point in me having a wild card if I'm going to take a hit. But he's really annoying me at the moment. And if Newcastle are, you know, if there's more players in Newcastle A&E than Newcastle Football Club on Sunday, then, you know, I've got a bit of a problem there. Well, I will probably play Gordon annoyingly, but I was really ready to get rid of him this week, and it kind of feels like I almost can't now. But yeah, little Newcastle frustration there. However, just before I leave the Newcastle conversation, Villa weren't great the other day against Everton, and Newcastle are at home, and same with Brentford. When Newcastle are at home, they're different. There's something about them. And they're like, oh my God. They're like, and then you look at the table, you're like, well, why the hell are they are where they are? Because I've watched Newcastle a lot this season. And at home, they're brilliant. And they shouldn't be where they are. But then they go away and they just shit the bed. And it's like, it's weird because we do it as well. We did it against Chelsea at the weekend. Bang unlucky, by the way, not to get anything against Chelsea. But yeah, just away, we're just not as clinical. We're not as systematic as we normally are at home, but we go away, and I get it. I mean, away games should be harder anyway, but then you go and look at Spurs, for example, and they're better away from home. You go at West Ham, I think they've had more wins away than they have at home this season. So yeah, a bit of a weird one. And then the end of my midfield, Florian Wirtz got a 20 pointer, well, with the captaincy, 10 pointer with the captaincy, so 20 points. Wirtz has been great since Salah's effed off to AFCON. Wirtz has been able to come out of his shell in this Liverpool side. And on his form at currently, I would like to keep him in my wild card. However, there's a Salah-shaped hole about to come back in. And we saw it yesterday against Marseille. Wirtz was okay, but I've seen him have a lot better games this season when Salah isn't there. So hopefully they can build a sort of some form of chemistry where Wirtz can still do his own thing. So for that reason, Wirtz might have to go. I don't really want to get rid of him, but I think with Salah back, it's going to cause more problems than solutions again, which is weird to say because Salah is a world-class player and he almost scored yesterday with a little thigh flick. But it just, you know, are the Liverpool players buying into him? Do they want to play with him? Is slotting him okay now? Like, and it will affect those players. So we just have to wait and see. But, you know, Wirtz at the moment, he's had a great ride in my team. And, you know, thank you for the 20-pointer. And then my two strikers, Haaland, Thiago, were a dud last week. Haaland, again, not scoring from open play. He scored 1 in 5 in the Premier League now, and one of them was a penalty. So he's had no open play goals in 8 games, I think someone said. I think Danny said the other day. Thiago, he didn't do a lot against Chelsea. It was more Sade missing all the chances against Chelsea. But, you know, Thiago at home is always a better fixture for him. And he's coming up against a Forest side who are currently out in Portugal playing their Europa League game. So if you have Thiago, don't fret. Keep him. He's not. I don't think he's going to go on another drought again. Famous last words, I know, but I'm. You know, he's not leaving my team this week or next week in the wild card. So we'll pick my team for my bus team for Saturday. 11 o'clock deadline, by the way. So at the moment, I've got Dubravka in goal, but I'm going to change that now. Donnarumma's going in goal against Wolves. So I've got Donnarumma. At the moment, I have... Hang on, I'm just going to make this change if Gordon's not there. yeah, sorry. So Donnarumma, Timber, Gabriel, Chow and Rodon as my back four. So... Sorry, Timber, Gabriel, Chow and Rodon as my back four. Donnarumma as my keeper. And then I've got a midfield four at the moment of Gordon, Saka, Semenyo and Wirtz. And then a front two of Haaland and Thiago. Now, there's a few ways I can go here. I'm not taking a hit. No matter how much I want to potentially do something, I'm not taking a hit. I'm either rolling or... Yeah, Bruno G's either going or we're rolling. My bench, sorry, is Dubravka, Bruno G at the moment, who will probably be someone else, Dalot and Mark Giroud. I'm not a big fan of Dalot anymore. I kind of rated him and I've seen him in the last few games and I'm a bit annoyed why I rated him. However, he did get a clean sheet against City, but I'm not starting him against Arsenal. I just think... I would just be four players in the Arsenal United game, and I'm not very keen to do that. Joe Rodon, if I do make a transfer, then Joe Rodon probably comes out for whoever I transfer. Now, in terms of who do I transfer, I could roll this. I could probably roll this, the more I think about it. And have two free transfers going into the wild card. And then when I come out of the wild card, I've got two free transfers if there's a few fires that need to put out very quickly. That's probably the sensible option. However, Chelsea have Crystal Palace. And Palace are just, they're a mess at the moment. They just lost Gehi. Mateta wants to leave. Glasner pretty much attacked the board after the game with Sunderland. It's like that's a 3 or 4 nil from Chelsea on the cards here. And if I did go down that route, it's where do I go? So, I mean, I could sell Dalot. I've got enough money to do Dalot to Chalobah. I could just cover that defence. I don't see Palace scoring, especially if Mateta's not playing. And he said he wants to leave. If he says he wants to leave, there's a chance that he doesn't get picked. So that is one option. And it's potentially a sensible option, by the way. Or I go into the midfield and take Bruno G out. Where I could go Enzo. Enzo did play 90 minutes against Paphos, is it? Did all right, played all right. He got an assist last week as well against Brentford. He seems to be the guy that Chelsea look up to at the moment. And he's a great, great talent. Palmer apparently should be fine for that game. But, you know, if I want Palmer, I have to take a hit. And not very keen to do that. I don't think he's worth doing that at the moment. He's just not right. He's obviously got... a few injury niggles, and he said apparently he came out today that he wants to go back to Manchester. He wants to join Manchester United. I doubt that's happening this window, and I'm not sure United would pay whatever they'd have to pay to get him out of there. Now, my other punt, there's two punts here. If Newcastle are cream-crackered with a load of injuries, I could get Rodgers. Actually, they're playing right now. I'm just going to see if he's done anything. Sancho scored. Sancho scored. They're currently 1-0 up at the moment. Rodgers, the first 10, 20 minutes, I thought, oh my God, he's going to get a hole in this game. And then he ended up getting a blank. He's not been as effective as he has been, but that could be a game where he sets himself alight again. But I don't really want to have two midfielders going against each other with Gordon and Rodgers. I'd rather just... Yeah, so I think it will be a Chelsea player coming in. My other punt is Garnacho. Now, he did start in the Champions League, but he also started against Brentford as well. He's a young lad, so he can quite easily start three games in a week. And Rossini seems to like him. And on the eye test, he's actually been very good. And he really should have scored against Brentford. He essentially missed an open goal. Now, you're probably asking yourself, well, George, why do you really want to go in on a player who missed an open goal? I just think this is a game crying out for Chelsea to get a few here, to get a clean sheet, to get a 2-3-0 win over Palace and, get a decent win against the Palace side, who's just in an absolute mess at the moment. And it would be a punt at the end of the day because he will probably come out of my wild card. I will probably go back to Enzo in the wild card if I did go for a Chelsea player. I can't get to Pedro and I can't get to Delap without a hit, so I can't really do that. So I think it's either a roll, I leave it, I don't touch that game and I just hope for the best. Or I'd probably play it safe with a Chalobah or an Enzo. Or I have a little punt on Garnacho. And I've said Garnacho a few times in previous pods and I seem to have a weird obsession with him. I don't like the bloke at all, by the way. But I've watched him under this very short Rossini reign and Rossini seems to like him. And he's looked lively. It's either a roll or probably will be either Chalobah or Enzo. I don't think I'm brave enough to go for the Garnacho punt, but we'll see. Because I know what I'll do. I'll do it and then he'll bloody bench him. Captaincy. Now, it's on Thiago at the moment. Normally I'd say that's completely Brentford bias, but I've seen a lot of people probably doing it this week. I mentioned it and then Steve all of a sudden goes, yeah, I'm doing that too. So, you know. Copycat Steve, I like to call him now. Thiago is a good pick this week. I mean, if you're looking on it fixture-wise, you go Haaland against Wolves. And a part of you goes, well, surely to goodness, this is where he Haaland goes, I'm back, you know, I'm here, I'm going to get a couple against Wolves, like you should at home, by the way. But on his form, I get it, you're protecting the EO, but on his form, I don't think I can go there. I don't think I can. As I said, Thiago is at home playing a Forest side who aren't great away from home anyway. And I think they're even worse after coming back from a Europa League game, which is what they're doing. They're currently in Portugal, about to play Braga in about an hour's time. And then they got to come to the G-Tech at 2:00. Thiago's probably a decent option to go for if you don't want to go Haaland. I also like Semenyo. If you don't want to go Haaland because you just think he's knackered and, you know, he's not going to score. I think Semenyo... I don't think City lose this game, by the way. I think they bounce back. They're at home... And Pep will want something from him. And if Haaland doesn't score, I think Semenyo does. So I don't hate the Semenyo captaincy. The other captaincy is Wirtz for me. Now, I know I said what I said about Salah, but there could be an argument that maybe he wanted to start Salah for that one, then maybe bench him for the Premier League game. I don't know. But because I'm not sure he wants to play him in and out every single week after he just had a tournament in AFCON. I don't know. But they got Bournemouth away. Now, that game is it'll be such an open fixture. Semenyo's gone. Tavernier's injured. Sorry. That could be another 3-3, 4-4 on the card in that Bournemouth game. They do like to concede. The only thing with that, Liverpool aren't exactly free-flowing scoring at the moment, so I'm not sure. It's probably Thiago or Haaland. I should back my boy, and I kind of want to back my boy, but it's surely to goodness. If Haaland starts, this is the game where he gets at least a goal. At least. The bare minimum, he gets a goal. But Thiago's on fire. I know he blanked last week, Thiago, but at home, he's on fire. And he, at the G-Tech, he is probably the best striker in the league at the moment on form. I'm not saying he is. Haaland's still the best striker in the Premier League, bar miles. But on the form, at home form at the moment, it probably is Thiago. I'm 70% on Thiago at the moment, but there might be a fear of Haaland purely because it's Wolves at home. However, because Haaland's been so crap, and he needs a rest by the looks of it, that Pep might just start Marmoush for this game. So, yeah, I think that's another risk where we could see Pep roulette and Haaland is the one who it lands on in Pep roulette this week. But yeah, that's it. Again, really sorry. I'm full of cold. I was stopping and stuttering a lot. But yeah, look. Thiago captaincy, probably. Enzo Achalaba transfer, probably. And then we go on to game week 24, where I would have pressed the wildcard button. And yeah, they'll do a pod Friday night. It'll probably be out about 10:30, 11 o'clock in the evening, UK time. And yeah, I will tell you exactly what my wild card is. Green arrows all. Cheers, guys. Bye.